Good morning and welcome to Smashy Business. I'm Lubna Hamdan.
And I'm Farah Bashir.
And it's Tuesday today, we said.
It is.
Past Monday.
Oh, God.
And yeah, we are getting through the week, Farah.
We are.
How is it looking? It seems like every single weekend passes by quicker than the weekend before.
Yeah, I feel like, honestly, the moment Monday passes, the rest of the day passes by.
The rest of the week, yeah.
You know? Mm. However, I think of it in a way, when I was a kid and I would have school, I would think of it like, you know how, like, Thursday used to be the Friday back then?
Yeah.
So I would be like, okay, so if Monday passed, then this means that Tuesday is going to pass. Now, if that passes, then when is it going to pass so fast and so Thursday is going to come? I don't know what logic was that. So now I think in a way, like...
I think that was just you trying to get through the week.
Literally.
Yeah, exactly.
And now I think of it in a way, like, you know, fine, today's Tuesday. So we're going to finish work. We're going to get back home. We're going to sleep in no time. Get back.
So you're an overthinker, basically.
Yeah, I'm thinking of every detail. And I like to fool myself, thinking, like, you know what, if I think of every detail, yeah, then it's going to pass by so fast.
Fake it until you make it.
That's true.
Looking forward to the weekend. It just goes by so fast, you know. Anyways, I am enjoying work, though, a lot recently, because we had a lot of exclusives. We had a lot of... Mm-hmm. You know, they don't necessarily have to be exclusives that are not out there. Sometimes a story is out there, but people are just not looking in the right places. So we've also found some things online just without even doing any interviews, news on socials. And you know, we were arguing about this a little bit first when I first joined here with my my previous co-host, who will be joining us on Friday, hopefully. We were arguing about how to, you know, find news, because I was going the old traditional way of, you know, interviews and digging around and stuff like that. And then he said, actually, you should depend much more on socials, because that's where everything is happening nowadays. And he was right. But I'm not going to tell you where I got this piece of information. It wasn't socials. Mm-hmm. But it's a very interesting piece of information. So apparently, new photos have been released. That story was everywhere. New photos have been released of the new, the up and coming, sorry, Win Al Marjan Island in Ras Al Khaimah, the beachfront resort that made such a huge buzz because it's going to host the UAE's first casino. They're calling it, it's funny because in the press release of the photos that they, anyways, I was going to say it's not a press release. It's funny because they sent it to all of the media outlets, and then they said to someone who they sent it to, they said, we didn't send it to everyone, by the way. We wanted to give you the exclusive. And I was like, alrighty. Anyways, so have you ever been to a casino, by the way?
Actually, I haven't. Mm. But the fact that one is going to be open in UAE and Iraq, it's going to be easily accessible to me, specifically the fact that I do actually go on a lot of staycations in Iraq. Mm-hmm. So I think it would be very cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's going to be really cool. Obviously, a lot of people are not so much with the idea of having a casino here. But it's funny because in that release that they sent, they said it's going to have the first integrated gaming facility in the MENA region. I don't know what that means. I don't know if that means that, you know, it's just a casino in a hotel, or I don't know what that means, but there are already casinos in the MENA region. You know, we have some in Egypt, we have some in Lebanon, and then so I mean, we already do have casinos in the MENA region, but the fact that we're going to have the world's biggest, and that's what we found out yesterday.
Yeah.
In the UAE right here. I mean, hey, I'm not surprised. Really, I'm not surprised, because the Burj Khalifa, the world's, the world's tallest, the world's biggest mall, the Dubai Fountains, broke a record. It's go big or go home for
that is true for the UAE. You know, actually, I was talking about this.
And the zip line in Ras Al Khaimah as well. Sorry, also longest, exactly. World's longest.
Exactly. I mean, I love that.
It's like, sorry, Farah, I'm just
it's
on, a, ways, on
yeah.
a high
yeah.
from the story, mm-hmm. on the back
yeah,
of the story.
Of course.
Because I feel really like mm-hmm. the business model of Dubai is, you know, they're just kind of. It's
getting,
you know,
bigger.
Yeah, yeah.
And better.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, because like I was talking about this with Casey this morning on the 11th show.
Yeah.
It was on our news, if any of your viewers watched the show this morning.
Yeah.
I was telling Casey like how, you know, we now live in Dubai is Dubai, right? And it will be it caters to everyone. And the fact that now we live in a multicultural, a lot of ethnicities, a lot of religions, you know, they're all around.
Mm.
So you will often find the fact that the UAE as a whole tries to cater for everyone, you know, and they're what fun means to them, you know, whether it's like, I don't know, the beach, whether it's a casino in this case. And as you said, if UAE does something, it's either going to go big or not do it at all.
Yeah, agreed. Let's go into the story a little bit more. So Wynn Resorts revealed these new pictures. I mean, yeah, there are no pictures of the casinos,
yes.
right?
Yes.
Yeah, I feel like there could have kind of been a little bit of a glimpse, but understandably, we know why. So it was reported last year that the project, which is $2 billion, by the way, big, is going to feature a casino facility larger than the one at the Wynn and Encore in Las Vegas. Have you been to Las Vegas?
I haven't. Of course, all of these places are on my bucket list.
Yeah.
I haven't been there
Same, Farah. Same.
Maybe we should travel together.
So apparently, it was reported last year that Rax Casino Resort is going to have a bigger casino facility than the one in Las Vegas, than the Wynn in Las Vegas. That was huge already. Mm-hmm. The one in Las Vegas, the casino facility alone, stretches over 194,000 square feet,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
So it's going to be much bigger than that.
Of
so
course.
The Rax Resort is on its basically kind of own, you know, island enclave kind of, not its own, there are other things there, but it's really interesting. I hope you guys can see the pictures. And for all of the pictures, do go to our Instagram, Smashy Business. The island is nearly 62 hectares. It's being built, the Rax Resort, in partnership with Marjan and Rax Hospitality Holding. And Iraq, by the way, is speaking of gaming laws and regulation. It's currently drafting its gaming laws using regulation foundations from the U.S. and Singapore. So it's going to be interesting to see also. And the gaming licenses.
Yeah.
Who's going to be able to get the license? Are you going to be able to get the license? We do have casinos being built also. Near the Burj Al Arab as well. There are a couple of hotels being built there. So it's going to, you know, first going to Ras Al Khaimah, then it's, you know, coming to Dubai. So
I was,
it's changing.
It is. I was telling Casey this morning that I have a theory. I think that the casino is going to be built in Ras Al Khaimah because people often go to Ras Al Khaimah for staycations, for example, like me and my friends.
Yeah.
And maybe heading out and just like completing the full on trip, you know, and go to a casino would be like cool. Like, for example, like people like in
just
when they go
splurging,
to the US.
Splurging your money.
just like giving them away.
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Why not? But like, you know, I mean, like in the way of like, you're not going to go to the United States, go to a state, like let's say that's very close to Las Vegas, stay there for a hotel. And
I think it was bound to happen, I think, sooner rather than later for the UAE.
100%, yeah.
And I have, I have been to a casino in Egypt. Mm-hmm. I just kind of, you know, walked in, had a look around. I was curious what does it look like, etc. It was not bad. It was nice.
Yeah.
But I just, you know, even when you see those casinos in the movies or TV shows, yeah, and you think, oh, that looks nice, cool, but not that nice.
That's true.
And I'm just imagining how nice, how beautiful and impressive this one is going to be.
I think, of course, because like,
compared to the rest of the
UAE
world,
yeah, does not do anything just like on the low. You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely.
I think this casino is going to be like the coolest casino we can ever.
For sure.
Yeah.
And and you know, Ras Al Khaimah, you know, there was allegedly a casino back in the 60s or 70s, mm-hmm, in Ras Al Khaimah.
Yeah.
Apparently, so
that's so interesting to know.
It goes full circle.
Yes.
Anyways, we're gonna go through real quick, just bits and pieces about the resort. The gaming facility at the Wen Rack is expected to attract 5.5 million tourists by 2030. Did you just yawn, Farah?
Yeah.
Am I boring you?
I don't think. By the way, no. But I have this thing with like lights. That's kind of like get me like.
Okay, I'm gonna ignore that because yeah, it's okay. You are forgiven. You are forgiven. So Ras Al Khaimah is gonna see so many more tourists from this. 5.5 million is the number that's expected. That's by 2030. The hotel itself will open 2027. Mm-hmm. Time flies.
Okay.
There are currently, though, this is more interesting. There are currently around 90 architects, designers, and creative visionaries. I don't know what that is. I hate it when people do that, by the way. It's like, what is your title, though?
Creative visionary.
What is a creative visionary?
Is that like an
interior design guru or something? Or
they just want to create titles at this point, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know.
I feel like if you say, you know, I don't know, like prominent architect or, you know, iconic designer or whatever. It makes sense, but what are creative vision? Anyways, moving on.
Someone who has a vision.
I guess, yeah. The resort tower will be 300 meters tall, and it will act as a new landmark for travelers to Ras Al Khaimah. That's according to President and Chief Creative Officer Todd Lenahan, who referenced Ras Al Khaimah's history as a trading hub. Of course, Rack was always known for its trading. The resort will have 22 F&B outlets, no shortage of options, a theater with apparently specially produced productions. So
that is cool.
Is the theater going to have, I don't know, burlesque shows perhaps? There was one burlesque, obviously not as extreme as the ones abroad, but there was one in Abu Dhabi at some point. When I say burlesque, let's just say it's a halal burlesque. You know what I mean? It's you know, it's still entertaining.
Yes.
But it's just yeah. Anyways, let's move on from that point before I dig a deeper hole for myself. It's also going to have a 15,000 square meter shopping center and a 7,500 square meter meetings and events center. So that's good. I'm not going to go on too much about this. You guys can check out the story yourselves on Smashy Business. Moving on to something that's not very uplifting. It was a dark day for democracy. Some people called it. Others said it was a criminal act on freedom of press. Israel raided the office of Al Jazeera, Qatar-backed Al Jazeera, in Jerusalem. Al Jazeera have three offices there, one in the West Bank, one in Gaza, and one in Jerusalem. So they raided the office. We already know that Israel is no fan of journalists, full stop.
That's true.
Especially Arab and Palestinian journalists.
Yes.
We already know that over 140 Palestinian journalists have been murdered since October 7th. by Israeli forces. Several of Al Jazeera's own crew have been injured or killed as well. So it wasn't a good. It was not a good day. The only good thing about it is that Benjamin Netanyahu, Israel's prime minister, is facing global condemnation for this. It's not as strong as it should be, but human rights organizations and several of the higher ups are calling him out for this. This happened on Sunday, by the way. Mm-hmm. They also seized some of Al Jazeera's communication equipment and blocked everything, blocked its website, and they've taken over the office, basically.
I mean, I still remember till this day when the famous, or I would say the hero, journalist Shirin Abu Aqli got, you know, killed
yeah.
By Israeli forces. And what they're trying to do is that yeah. not only kill or, let's say, murder, I like to murder the journalists who are covering, I would say, the events that are happening. Mm. But the fact that they've done that, but still, it was not enough for them to just, like, I would say, like, keep quiet on what's happening mm. with the genocide and so on.
I mean, so. I am actually getting chills. Yeah. I'm getting chills because, you know, Matez Azaiza is trying to pass that message, and you know, Shirin and you know, Wael Dahtouh as well.
Yes.
I mean, wow. I mean, and you know, Wael's son was killed on the job as well. It's you know, everyone from Hind Khoury to Bisan. I mean, the bravery and the courage.
They do, and you can see it in their faces that they're so passionate about actually delivering the full story from all angles.
Imagine still
public.
Being dedicated to your job while your life is under threat.
Yes.
24/7, and you don't
yes.
have food or water or shelter.
It's heartbreaking.
Speaking of shelter, thankfully the ceasefire was agreed to yesterday. Mm-hmm. We saw Palestinians dancing in the streets. I mean, finally.
I mean, I'm not gonna believe anything until I see it just like happen.
Yeah, yeah. It's a developing story.
Yes,
it's a developing story. But we're gonna move on from this because mm-hmm. we are. You know what? When the conversation is interesting, Farah, just
you can just stop talking about it.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Shark Tank is mm-hmm. in the news again. I do recommend you start watching that, Farah.
I think it's just stress me out. I'd be.
You wouldn't. You would just try to enjoy it. Try to enjoy the stress. Take it in.
I don't
get
know.
Get some.
I don't know.
I'm kidding.
Maybe maybe I'll watch the show and I'll come out of the show
stress?
With like a, I don't know, a business plan, and I'll be like, I want to do that.
Maybe. Why not? Egyptian Shark Tank star Ahmed Tareh has invested $100 million in healthcare and education. He's a well-known entrepreneur, one of the judges on Shark Tank, and he's looking to make some money, looking for lucrative opportunities. So he put in $100 million towards healthcare expansion over the next 3 years, basically. He spoke to the Daily News Egypt, and he said one of his latest acquisitions include the National Schools and Al Ruwad schools. So he's also going towards the education center. Interesting right here. He also has plans to acquire two more school chains in the pipeline. He said he wants to revolutionize healthcare accessibility in mm-hmm. Egypt. I don't know much about healthcare in Egypt.
I don't know either. Mm. But I think it's maybe similar to our I wouldn't say your home country, Palestine. Of course, it's worse than Palestine, but...
I mean, I have the Jordanian passport. I've never been to Palestine, unfortunately. I would love to go. But healthcare is actually very good in Jordan. It's very good.
It is. Actually, a lot of family friends did actually go to Jordan for, I would say, very complicated...
procedures or
she had a procedure done and it was done really perfectly. Mm-hmm. In Egypt as well, you know, regarding the private sector, our producer mm-hmm. Hisham just like told us it is really good, but For the public sector.
Did he? Oh, apparently my earpiece is off, Hisham. Apparently I wasn't able to hear you. Yeah, here
yes,
it is.
Well.
Okay, I can hear you now.
Well, thank you, Hisham, for the notes.
Sorry, the nice thing about this show is that I can just Google something if we don't know anything about it.
Yes.
Apparently there is a lack of funding, apparently, which I think obviously around mm-hmm. the world a lot of the yes. healthcare systems
yes.
Suffer with that. But Hisham, who is Egyptian, Hisham, tell me right now, in my ear, please, give us the dish on Egyptian healthcare. Is it good? The private sector is very good. Okay. Top quality, top machines, top doctors. All right. Public healthcare is terrible. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
The only good... Okay. There is one for cancer that is very good when it comes to public hospital, mm-hmm. But the private clinics are good. Okay, the rest
yes.
are not. That explains mm-hmm. Him saying he wants to offer accessibility.
Which is, by the Makes way, sense. it's a very smart move.
It's a smart move, but also it's a great move for those people mm-hmm. who don't have access to healthcare.
Agreed.
Imagine
yeah.
that. And sometimes I think we really take it for granted how much access we have to healthcare here in the UAE,
yeah.
in Dubai. You can literally go see a doctor or get a doctor to your house any time of the day, any day of the week.
That's true.
It is expensive, but not so expensive that most people can't afford it. Eid al-Adha is coming.
Oh, I'm so excited.
You guys are going to have, and by you guys, I'm talking to our listeners, of course. We're all going to have an extended holiday. Obviously, Eid is not confirmed until closer to date, but experts predict it's going to start on Sunday, June 16th. Until Wednesday, June 19th.
Mm-hmm.
So if anyone listening wants to book a holiday, I suggest you start now. But what's more interesting is that I was working on this story and just, you know, a real quick
yeah.
morning post. And Richard, who is the CEO of this company, you know, came up to me and said, Lubna, entrepreneurs don't take holidays. So Eid al-Adha holiday is irrelevant. I said, really? And then he said, yes. And then I said, okay, makes sense because, look, I'm not saying entrepreneurs don't take holidays. Everyone needs a vacation.
That is true.
But I do know that as startup founders, SMEs, business owners, my own father actually mm-hmm. takes his laptop with him on vacation. He still,
yeah.
he still works on vacation. He never actually plugs off.
You
and apparently Richard is the same thing as well. He
yeah.
he posted a story. He had a staycation. He took a day off during
yeah.
the week. And he posted a caption. He said, lost in Dubai because I'm on vacation. Like, don't know what to do because it feels so odd and strange for him. So it's just interesting kind of.
It is.
But you know what? We had a coach here, somewhat of a career coach / advisor, whatever, and she said, "You actually don't have to ever plug off if you love what you do.
That is true
because you're enjoying it anyway. So you don't. It doesn't have to be a constant stress on you,
yeah.
or a constant kind of burden." Because it becomes part of your lifestyle.
That is true. Actually,
so.
I was going to say that my dad has given me my advice because he has his own business as well.
Mm.
He tells me, like, Farah, if successful people mm-hmm. do not think of their off days as off days, yes, they do take a break,
mm.
but if something comes up and if there is something that needs to be done,
mm.
they do it for the sake of their, because like you are definitely, your own business.
Definitely. You know what? A close, a very close friend of mine actually mm-hmm. Is in investment banking and other things as well. But he never plugs off as
yeah.
well. But he still enjoys his time. And so many times he has, you know, his friends are also his business partners. And, you know, they have on the weekend, they go have dinners and they do their meetings over dinners and they brainstorm together. While they're socializing. And it's really common here in Dubai. You just,
that is true.
That is the life. But that it's so true. Interesting. And sometimes, you know, we sit down together and we just start talking about, you know, business and the news, basically.
That's true.
I'm not going to go more into, into details about what we talk about because I want to leave the stories for the show.
I agree.
Anyways, it's been fun, Farah. We do stay tuned, guys. We have a very special guest with us today. She's helping a lot of women with at-home fertility testing and egg freezing. She's bringing it to the UAE with AvaSave. Her name is Turkiya Mahloul, founder and CEO of AvaSave. Stay tuned. Turkiya, welcome to the studio. You have a beautiful name, by the way, Turkiya. Is that, where are you originally from?
Hi, Lubna, thank you for having me. I'm originally from Algeria.
Okay.
But born and raised in France. And yeah, Turkiya is a is an original name even for Algerians, actually.
Yeah, which means Turkey.
Yes.
Right? Yeah, a beautiful, beautiful name.
Thank you.
But we're not here to discuss your name. We're here to discuss something that for a lot of women is revolutionary. You're bringing at home egg freezing and fertility testing to the UAE. And I just mentioned that through your company, you're the founder and CEO of OvaSave. And I just mentioned that little line before you came into the studio, mentioned it to my co-host Farah, and she was shocked. She said, really? And then one of our producers, Massa, also said, hold on, what? How does that work, at-home fertility testing and egg freezing? Because the process seems so complicated for so many women, and it's not easy, the process.
So what we have done is launched the first at-home fertility test kit in the region. It's quite simple. With a few drops of blood, women can now test their ovarian reserve from the comfort of their home at a fraction of what it would cost at the clinic. Our test is a way to collect super easily like a blood sample, and the courier will come, pick up the test, take it to our certified lab, and in a couple of days, you receive your results on your dashboard and can discuss them with a fertility expert over a teleconsultation. So all done from home, super convenient, and also more affordable. And from there, if you need or want to freeze your eggs, we have also partnered with some of the leading fertility clinics in the region and can connect you on the platform to a fertility doctor to proceed with egg freezing.
So you test your own blood at home. You how does that work? Because I obviously I don't want to connect this to your company, but when you just said at home blood testing and a very simple blood test, I just remembered Theranos by Elizabeth Holmes and the book Bad Blood. Obviously, she tried to do that, and the idea was brilliant. And you know she was tried for that, but the concept itself is much needed. So tell me, how does that work?
Yeah, she had a vision, but I think our product is way different from what she had in mind.
No, of course, of course. Yeah,
the idea is that it's just a simple blood test. So why not allowing women to collect that blood sample again from the comfort of their home? So in our test kit, you will find a lancet and it just requires a finger prick. You drop a bit of blood on our collection device.
So you just prick your finger?
Yes, and let it drop on a blood card.
Wow, like Sleeping Beauty.
Yes, very simple. And that blood card actually is a way to collect your blood and make it stable so that we have time to deliver it to the lab. But it's actually a lab test. It's not something that gives you instant results. It's run in the same machines where any blood sample that has been collected in the clinic would be run. And in a couple of days, you get your results. The idea is to increase access to fertility testing for women, because it's not that easy for women just to drop work, go to a fertility clinic and start the process.
Exactly. I mean, we struggle just to get to a dentist appointment, you know?
That's the idea.
So is that enough, that small blood sample?
Yeah. Literally, like the technology that has been used in the US, in the UK for more than 7 years is very well established. And before launching the product, we went through like a validation process. So we conducted like hundreds of tests and ensured that you get the same accuracy than any other test that you would do at a clinic.
That's insane. That's really, really impressive.
That's really cool.
What are the prices of the kit? And is it one kit, or there are different types of kits? What are the prices versus if you were to go to a doctor? Is it less expensive? Is it more expensive?
We're trying to make it less expensive.
So can you use the kit more than once also? Sorry.
No, the kit is to do the test once. For now, we have launched an AMH test. AMH is the hormone that gives you an indication of how many eggs you have left in your ovaries. So mm-hmm. that's one product. The price of the AMH test kit is 350 dirhams. Mm-hmm. And it includes a teleconsultation with a fertility expert. So you get all of that for 350.
Wow.
Usually, going to a clinic, knowing that that insurance don't cover for fertility.
Yeah.
Cost adds up quickly, like between the test, the consultation, you can easily spend 1,000 dirhams on that.
Exactly.
So we're trying to bring cost down to literally 30% of what it would cost at a clinic.
Just to give people some idea, egg freezing costs typically from $5,000 to, it can reach up to $7,000 or more in the UAE, so it's quite expensive. But the test for egg freezing as well is in itself expensive.
Yes,
as you just mentioned. So at least we're going to get into how you help with egg freezing or what plans you have for the future. But at least taking that cost away of that initial test is big. So yeah, go on, please.
Yeah, so the idea is like the first step, which is understanding where you stand with your fertility potential, is made more convenient and more affordable for women. When it comes to egg freezing, we believe that it's not for everybody, but at least understanding your body, your hormones, should be for everybody. And we're planning to launch a new product in the coming weeks, which is a full fertility and hormonal panel where women can test an additional 6 hormones that give them a better understanding of their hormonal health and help them diagnose other conditions that can impact their fertility, PCOS, perimenopause, thyroid conditions. So giving them a convenient and, again, more affordable tool to get into their hormonal health.
And so that's lovely, because I was about to ask you what you're doing on the educational side, on the let's call it content, because there are so many companies now when it comes to feminine health are doing so much. There's a brilliant, brilliant company. I can't remember the name of it, but it's basically this device that you place on your lower abdomen, and it helps with menstrual pain and cramps. But you can use it on other cramping as well, so it's not just for that. But it was made specifically for that, and it has saved me plenty of times. I'm not going to get into my personal details of my life, but there are more and more of these. Basically, people are caring more and more about it, and women are saying there isn't enough care. You know, we want to make it easier for us. So you just said that you're launching something to help women understand and better their hormonal health. What, throughout this journey, you know, from starting OvaSave to now and then to, you know, future plans, what is the main kind of hindrance when it comes to trying to develop something like that and moving forward with that? Like, did you struggle raising money, for example? Are you bootstrapping currently?
So, yes, the femtech space is booming. There is a lot of innovation going on, which is great because it was much needed. We have like real problems, and
we still work throughout them.
Yeah,
and you know,
actually now, like, having more women trying to solve the real problems they faced, like I faced that real problem myself, is just getting us to another place and providing like a very exciting products. I would say, in terms of challenges that we've faced as a startup, I wouldn't say that fundraising was one of them, surprisingly. Like, we found that investors have been quite excited about the femtech space, jumped on board.
Wow, great to hear.
And have invested in OvaSave because we are solving a real problem that has been probably ignored for a long time. I would say that tech is a challenge in itself, building a platform that will really transform the fertility journey, relying on other stakeholders like clinics, labs, mm-hmm. logistic providers, is something that required a lot of work, a lot of iterations, learning from our customers from Real Women and improving as we progress throughout the journey. Also, if you think about it, fertility testing is not your typical product. It requires a lot of education, a lot of awareness. Somehow that conversation has been parked, and it's been a black box for many women to understand their fertility health. And opening that black box requires a lot of money and also some creativity when it comes to pushing a new story, a new narrative on social media, with corporates. But we're getting there. We're seeing really like an extremely positive response because women were waiting for that to happen.
I really love the marketing, and I love the copywriting. I don't know who did your copywriting, but it's brilliant, whoever did it. Egg freezing packages, that's the other side of the business. Tell me about that. Tell me about the revenue streams and these at-home testing kits. Are they available only on your website online? What plans do you have for that also?
Yeah, the fertility testing kits are only available now on OverSave. Obviously, we considering other distribution channels, but at this stage, we only like a few months old. We're trying to really nail down the user experience. It needs to be fully digital and completely seamless. As we expand and we are in discussions with, again, corporates, pharmacies and all of that, we will be considering pushing the product into different distribution channels because, again, our mission is to make fertility care more accessible. When it comes to egg freezing packages, once you have your results, that's where you have all the information you need to make a decision about your future fertility and what options you have. What we've done to make that more accessible and more affordable again, we have onboarding like a wide range of clinics providing different services and price points across also different cities. We want to cover like Dubai, Abu Dhabi, Sharjah, soon Al Ain. Also, when it comes to the prices of egg freezing, you said it's not cheap, it's about $5,000. What we've been doing is offering payment plans.
I mean, that's the cheapest one, I think.
Yes, yes.
But yeah, go on. Sorry, because I do remember I love the fact that you can now have payment plans for freezing your eggs. Because I was talking to a friend of mine the other day, and she's 34 now, and she wanted to freeze her eggs, but she said it's really expensive. It was they gave her a quota of I think around 35,000 dirhams. Payment plans for freezing your eggs, incredible. Walk me through that.
So obviously we're not a bank. We've partnered with a solution, a buy now pay later solution.
It can't be Tabby. Sorry, that's for retail. Sorry.
Tabby is one of the options available in the market.
Okay.
But for now we have Cashew on the platform. It's another buy now pay later option.
Okay.
And for egg freezing, they will just select a clinic, a doctor, and when they come to pay, they select Cashew as a payment option. And there is like obviously an eligibility criteria, like the Cashew solution will run a background check on the woman's credit score and approve it. From there, they will just have 6 months of installment payments. At no additional cost, no interest. All of that is taken care of by us, which makes it more sustainable because, yes, 20, 25, 30,000 dirhams is a big amount for some of us.
I really love that you, on your website, which I'm just on right now, you really answer some of the crucial questions that a lot of women have and are just not able to find online. Like, what is the, you literally have a section, what's the total cost of freezing my eggs? And then you actually explain, you know, there are different, you know, how much the medication is, tests, ultrasounds, etc., egg freezing initial consultation, the package with or without medicine. I really love that. Where will my frozen eggs be stored, etc.? Really appreciate that. We are running short. on time. But any message, I'm really excited for this. I just want to tell people to check it out, ovasave.com. Anything else that you want to talk about that we haven't covered? Because I could ask you what the best age is, et cetera, but I'm going to leave it, to you to say what you want to say.
As a message, I say that we test for many things. We test for vitamins, for other deficiencies, and I think fertility screening should be just part of our routine screening that we do to track our egg reserve. And whether you want to have kids or you don't want or you're not sure about that, you don't even have to decide at this point in time. I think checking our hormonal health is just part of checking our overall health because we are ruled by those hormones. And as you get this information, things will get clearer about what you want to do or not to do. But I think testing should be a no-brainer.
At least having the choice, knowing that you have the choice and you have the knowledge. Because if you have a problem, you can solve it now and not wait
exactly
until like, it's too late.
I think what we're trying to change, and it's a big part of our mission, is for women to take their fertility and hormonal health more proactively and not wait
seriously
until they have a problem to do something about it, because it's often a bit late.
And take it more seriously as well, and take care of ourselves instead of always taking care of other people around us, you know?
That's for sure.
Thank you, Turkiya,
thank you,
so
Lina.
Much. I really wish we could have, you know, extended this, but I'm sure we'll have you on the show to further talk about this. And thank you on behalf of all women. Thank you for your
thank you,
for
Lina,
your work.
For your time. It's really nice.
Watch us on smaji.tv, get us wherever you get your podcasts, and reach out if you have an interesting story or business. Thank you, and speak to you tomorrow.